Got some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in. But when I go back home, I've got some famous friends. Yeah, I do.
Our famous friend, Brian Bulaga, is our cousin sub of the day.
Cousin subs, we believe in better. The 11 o'clock hour begins now. Jesse, can you play, as much as I love this song, which I added to my playlist after Brian brought it in as his walk-up music, can you play that clip again from LaFleur that you played in your Sports Center? I just want to hear that one more time, because, God, the idea that he's questioning their grit and their effort and all that other stuff and suggesting that they're not laying it on the line for themselves or for their teammates, that I still am really surprised that he viewed it that way. Can you play that again?
You got to check yourself every play. Are you giving your max effort? Are you straining the way that we want you to strain? Is the style of play what we want to see? So I think it'll be a good opportunity for all of us to kind of evaluate and see the guys that really want to put it all out there for not only for themselves, but for the team.
Yeah, again, we'll get to the tackle talk in a second, but I don't think they didn't try. I thought they just stunk. That's just how I view it. I don't see it the same way as he does, but he's the head coach.
Is it bad that one week he's questioning publicly Sean Ryan's conditioning, and then the next week he's questioning half the roster's effort in a preseason game in Denver? Like, those feel like effort and conditioning, I feel like, are the two things people never talk about. And he talked about both in the span of like 5 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brian?
You said at the beginning of the show, Jason, guys that are fighting for their NFL life normally don't go out in preseason and give half effort. And I'm not sure what I watched last night was guys not trying or not giving effort. I just think they got outplayed. And obviously there's ways for coach speak to try to translate that and make something hit home to players. But I mean, from the outside looking in, again, I'm not in the film room with them today going over it or whatever it may be. So I don't know exactly what the play calls were or this or that. But it wasn't like I saw a complete lack of effort. So I understand that he's sending a message, but I'm more on that they just got beat, and it made them very upset how they got beat, right?
Yep.
27-2 will make any coach upset, I think. And then to do it, like you said, in the second half of the game when it was like twos and threes versus twos and threes and nothing really improved, makes them probably even more upset. And then, like we've talked about this whole show, what happened a few days prior in the joint practice started this kind of boiling over point for him, which led to what he said after the game last night. So, again, I'm not going to sit here and question guys' effort and hustle and things of that nature. Like, I'm not in the building with them. I'm not going to question, do they care enough? Are they giving it all? Or, like, that's not for me to question. But what I saw was a team that just got outplayed.
Yeah.
And that's the way I look at it.
All right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to laugh in the middle of your very good point, but just the sound of the score, 27-2, that sounds like what happens when you get your butt kicked in like beer league softball. Oh, man. Everybody's sitting at the bar afterward drinking their Coors Lights going, can't believe we lost 27-2. You know, an unlimited arc salt, softball, slow pitch.
I think we had a C-League basketball game in college in 27-2.
It's just such a funny score. All right, Brian, let's talk line.
Weird.
let's talk first about Andre Dillard, who you know, he has some right tackle play in his history, but he was viewed largely as a left tackle when the Eagles drafted him. He played some left tackle last night. Then he goes out after a couple of series. Kadeem Telford, who had started at right tackle, goes over to left tackle. Later, they bring in Caleb Jones, who I still don't understand their fascination with him, other than the fact that he's 6'9". You can help me understand that. But how do you feel about the swing tackle position today, or is it still something that you're like, I'm not sure I like any of this right now?
I'm still a little nervous about the swing tackle position, because we know what their intentions are for Morgan this year, right? It's at right guard. So that opens up to who's going to be the true swing tackle. And from all indications and from what we've seen is Dillard, which again, last night, I thought he was fine. I don't think he did anything that blew me off the map, but he didn't do anything that made me go, man, this guy, I don't understand what he's doing out there. So to me, I think he's going to be the guy, because I think you look at him, compared to Telford and Jones, like, I think he's the better performer out of all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's probably what we're going to see, is him be that swing tackle and then Sean Ryan be the swing guard and center that rotates in and out of there. And I think that's where you get your seven guys, and potentially they have an eighth that they bring, maybe Monk. I don't know who it's going to be,
mm-hmm.
but he'll be the guy that's probably not active on game day. Maybe if they keep nine, we'll see. I have no idea. I'm not going to jump to conclusions here, but I think you're going to see Dillard Ryan as your 6 and 7 and the five who we all think are going to be the starters. And I think that's the way they're going to go into it. Because at this point, there's been none of the other tackles have shown that they can be efficient enough to be the sixth, or, you know, what, the first tackle in if something right. were to happen.
Right.
And that's kind of where I'm deciding on it. Now, things change throughout a season, right? Guys improve, they get better. Like, things can happen, but at this point right now, it's most likely Dillard. And that's my opinion just from watching the first few preseason games.
So, all right, I would venture to say there is no radio show in America that talks more offensive line than this one, because we have an offensive lineman when he comes to work, who is the, air quotes, full-time host of the show with me. And then we have Brian on once a week, and he cousins subs. So I get it. These guys play the position. They know that it's not the sexiest position on the football field, despite them both being handsome guys in and of themselves. Now, that all said, we've spent a lot of time on the swing tackle topic, in part because, as I have used as an example, that 2014 season when you missed one game against the Jets in week 2 and you were the only starter to miss a start that entire year and was just one game, more likely the stuff that happens is what's happened in the last 4 or 5 years, which is 8 different starting lineup combinations and that kind of, right? It's a dangerous job you guys do.
Yep.
And so I understand, yep. Well, hey, we feel good about our starting five, right? You got your first-round pick plugged in as a right guard, even though he's never played right guard in his life before this camp. But, hey, you feel good about the top five. The problem is they're not all going to get through unscathed. They're just not. The odds are very, very, very much against that. So that's why we spend so much time on it. That said, I want to talk a little bit more about Sean Ryan, who is not going to be a starter, it would appear. But we talked about this last week, him getting called out for his conditioning. I have again, he wears number 75, so maybe you've got a little bit of a bias. I don't know. But I've got a lot of respect for a guy that doesn't pout and moan and complain that the coach was mean to me and he called me fat publicly, which is basically what he did. He said, hey, if he thinks that I'm not in good enough condition, I didn't know I wasn't in good enough condition for them, but if that's what they think, then I got to work harder. So he's out there running gassers, yep. And I got to eat better. I mean, to his credit, he said, the coach
thinks I'm out of shape, so I better get my shape together, so to speak. Does that at least give you an encouraging feeling about him? Because when you hear what happened with LaFleur, you have to admit, you start to think, well, what the hell's wrong with the guy wearing my number? That he's not in shape, right?
Oh, yeah, well, it certainly makes me think about what's happening behind the closed door. Like, what's he doing? What's happening, right? Like we said last week, coaches normally don't do that, right? Like, that's not something that happens all the time. Not even just, like, in training camp, but, like, you look back how many years, like, I don't remember seeing coaches call guys out for that often. So it's got
Eddie Lacy is the only example for me.
Exactly. So it's just it took me off guard. But then you, like I said, to that point, like I've seen him playing these he's taking a lot of snaps. It's not like he's taking a single series. He's taking a lot of snaps, and it looks like he's in shape. It doesn't look like he's exhausted. It looks like he's in condition, and he's actually performing. Like, if I watch, I can go back and watch them all again. I think he's probably the best performer out of all the groups that are out of the guys that are in there when he's in the game with those combinations of groups. So, like, I feel good about where he's at. And if he is the sixth guy, right, that covers for the guards and for the center, I feel good about it. Like, I think he, not only what he's put on tape from last year, but what he's put on tape playing center now, which we didn't see last year, and it wasn't something that I don't even remember even being talked about, that he was taking center snaps, but now he is taking center snaps, shows that he is, you know, putting his head down and working. Like, learning a new position, especially the center position, isn't an easy thing. It's a tough gig. Like, that's why I always appreciate guys like Corey and Scott. Like, it's a tough job. And when you're just asked to do it on a whim, like he's been in training camp this year, and excel at it, because you know my job's on the line if I don't do this. Like, I've obviously have been ousted from my right guard position, which everyone, probably including himself, thought that he had the fast track to. Now I got to prove that I can do another position and be valuable in more than one spot. That takes a lot. And then to have the coach, you know, say what he did about you. I mean, there was a lot of, you know, I want to say negativity, but there was a lot of spotlight on that press conference that LaFleur said that about him. So, yeah, I mean, to see him work his way through this and continue to perform and work his way through it, you know, yeah, I feel good about him being our rotational guy inside. And like you said, for a whole group to go scot-free through a season and not miss a snap is rare. It is very rare, because, listen, a guy can have 100% health his entire career, be completely fine. He's never injured. He's never on the injury report. He's available for every game. All it takes is one small thing to happen, one body that you don't even see to roll into your legs, and that's all it takes. Nothing of your doing, nothing of you being out of shape, or it has nothing to do with that. It's just bad luck happens and you miss time. And that, knowing that, you need to have people that are behind those starting five that are competent and are able to do a job for as long as you need them to do. And listen, we've seen for me, at least personally, seen the decline in O-line play throughout the NFL for a while now. Like, it's been something that's very evident as college football has changed. The guys aren't as pro-ready coming out as what they used to be. Like, you don't get Joe Thomas's anymore. Like, that, like, right away that they're able to go, and or the Trent Williams, or like, that just doesn't happen as often anymore. There's normally there's a break-in period, and guys have to adjust and change their game and figure out what they need to do to fit in to be a starter day one. And it takes time to find those guys. So to go into a season feeling good about a guy that can play both guards in a center position, is something, you know, Green Bay and LaFleur and Steno and Butkus probably feel really good about. So I understand that he didn't, like, at least all indication shows that he didn't win the right guard job. Yeah, I get that. And I'm sure he's upset about it. I'd be upset about it, but that doesn't mean you just stop working. And like you said, pout, you got to keep working and claim your place on that group. And I think he's probably done that.
All right, last thing on Tackle Talk with Brian Bulaga, who also is our cousin sub of the day. So Zach Tom doesn't do 11-on-11 for the first 2 weeks of camp. Jordan Morgan, the first-round pick, playing a position he never played ever, like not even in peewee football, is your right guard. He missed time with a shoulder injury, is back, but did not play in last night's game either. Josh Myers missed some time with his father's passing. Elton Jenkins is getting treated like he's Brian Bulaga and Chad Clifton and David Bakhtiari, these veteran days off. I was giving him a hard time. Are you really old enough to be getting these? But he is, and he did have an ACL tear in his career, so yep. Fairness to him. Basically, the only guy that's been at work every single day is Rashid Walker, who everyone thought was going to be replaced by the first-round pick on draft day. When it comes yep. to getting the chemistry right for you as a group, they don't even have three snaps together, right? Because they didn't play Zach Tom yep. in the opener, and he didn't play this game either. From an offensive line perspective, from the starting five, what do you feel like they need, or do you think they're just going to be fine?
Well, I think from a looking at the group as a whole, right, feel good about the four guys. The question mark is Jordan Morgan, right? Like, new position, rookie, never played the right guard position, has won this job, but then gets hurt. And hasn't, and now he's back at practice, like you said. He's the guy that needs to be getting these reps with Myers and with Tom to get this continuity down in the communication and just muscle memory working next to guys. Like mm-hmm. like understanding how each guy blocks and what's good for them, what's not good for them, their strengths and weaknesses. Like it takes time to learn that. So I mean, Walker played a lot of ball, Elton's played a lot of ball. Myers has played a lot of ball, and Zach Tom's played. I mean, I know he's young, but he's played a lot of snaps. So, like, those guys understand it. And Walker's young too, but he played a lot, and he's won this job, right? Like, he's won the left tackle job in camp, so it speaks mm-hmm. about what he's been doing and how he's prepared. So, like, you feel good about that. And I'm not saying I don't feel good about Morgan. I mean, if he won this job and he beat out Sean Ryan, you know, credit to him. And obviously, even with the same that he's been hurt, and he hasn't been practicing, and he just came back to practice, and he hasn't played a preseason game yet. He hasn't even played an NFL game yet. Whether it's preseason or not, it's still an NFL game. He needs time to work with these guys. So I'm hoping the shoulder feels as close to 100% as it can, and I hope he takes reps against Baltimore in this joint practice and potentially mm-hmm. – I mean, I'm not trying to say he needs it, or I don't know what he needs, and I don't know what the coaching staff thinks he needs. But if the coaching staff feels like he may need some reps against Baltimore in the preseason game just to get him out there in a game-type environment with the nerves and the warm-up and just running out onto the field for the first time in a actual game and feeling that energy, that nervous energy, that excitement, and going out there and doing it, putting your hand in the dirt with a full stadium – in an NFL game, then maybe he has to do it for a series. Like, I don't know what the coaching staff feels like he needs, or he personally feels like he needs. But like I've said this in the past, like, there's something to be said about running out onto that field in the preseason and feeling that energy. That mm-hmm. I always felt nerves. I was excited. Like, it was a mix of both. And there's something to be said about feeling that early so that when you go out there when it's for real and for in this – case in an unfamiliar environment in a foreign country that you don't know what the fan base is going to be like. You don't know what the environment's going to be like. There's something to be said about getting that out of the way now. so you understand what it feels like in a friendly environment at home in a game that, sure, it means something, but it's not what it's going to mean in a week or so. So if the coaching staff feels like he needs it, I think he needs to embrace it and take the opportunity. Now, I don't know how the shoulder is. I'm hoping it's okay because he came back into practice, but these guys got to get reps together. And, like, I think Elton's in a different ballpark than everyone else because I think Elton, throughout his career, has played next to different tackles. He's played next to different centers. He's a really high caliber, high efficiency type player. So, like, Elton's a different story because I remove Elton from the equation. But I think everyone else needs to get these reps together to get on the same page so that when they're in Brazil week one, it's full steam ahead.
That is this rendition of Tackle Talk. Are we doing it again on Wednesday too? Because I just can't get enough of this stuff. This is so much fun.
Oh yeah. We're back.
All right. So in the meantime, you'll have to wait for more Tackle Talk till Wednesday. Now we need to play trivia. Jesse, every Monday is the sports weekend recap. Is that the case this Monday? I don't know what your schedule was like. Sometimes you don't have it ready because you're so busy at meat raffles and trips to Crivets and everything you got going on your social schedule. Leave it baseball games early, another good example.
I always make time to watch Scott Van Pelt on Sunday Night Sports Center, which primes me for the sports weekend recap. Also, good to know that Bulaga is not golfing or anything where he can't join us for his regular appearance on Wednesday. That's nice to know. Unlike, you know, I don't know if anyone else would ever have that situation going on. But yeah, the sports weekend recap is our category for trivia today.
All right. The Packers had one play of 15 yards or more. One play, 15-yard run by Emmanuel Wilson. So caller 15 in honor of that one 15-yard play that the Packers had last night. Caller 15, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. We'll play trivia next. Want to remind you, I hope you never have to make the one call. That's all. Hope you never have to. That means you've never been seriously injured in an accident. But if you have been and you do need to make that call, make it to Gruber offices. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Go to the website, find out more about the firm. You know that they'll fight for you. Gruber-law.com is the website. Gruber-law.com. Trivia's next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio. I'm not afraid of getting older. I will stay from dying young. I see the light go past my shoulder. I'm one stay from dying young. And I'm not afraid.
Time for trivia. Let's welcome in our contestant. Now, Jesse, when you send us the contestant, I know you want to make sure you spell their name right, right? Because you need that information in case they win.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when Dwayne spells his name capital D, small U, big W, Ain, is that Dwayne or is it just Dwayne?
I think it's just Dwayne, but you can ask Dwayne if it's Dwayne or Dwayne.
Do you know if it is Dwayne or not, Jesse? That's what I was asking. Dwayne, good morning. How are you? How's your big truck?
I'm doing awesome today. Awesome weekend.
I don't need to over enunciate the do in Dwayne. Is that correct?
No, you do not.
I do not.
I know the
nicely
right way
done
to spell Dwayne.
Indeed. Yes, there may be some other. I think we have other contestants also named Dwayne over the years who spell it wrong, according to you. All right, let's play. It is the Sports Weekend Recap. Question number one, Dwayne.
I like
is
the name
this.
Dwayne.
What'd you say?
I like the name Dwayne.
I just think of, if you're old enough to remember Die Hard, there's the guy that is running the LAPD response to the Nakatomi situation is Dwayne T. Robinson. And John McClain says something to Dwayne that we can't say on the air without getting in trouble with the FCC, and I'll leave it at that. All right, Dwayne, question one. Last night's Sunday night baseball game between the Yankees and Tigers was played at which of these unique locations? Was it at the Little League World Series in Williamsport, Pennsylvania? Was it at Olympic Stadium in Montreal, Canada? Or was it on Waikiki Beach in Honolulu, Hawaii?
We'll go with Little League. Hey.
I assume the final score was like 35 to 33 or something, because those short fences, I got to think they're hitting lots of home runs, right?
It's kind of misleading because they play it on a full-size field. It's really not as fun as it sounds.
Sure. They play wiffle ball instead.
They have made it an annual tradition. I'm waiting for the Brewers to get an invite to it, because I think we would think it's cooler if the Brewers were part of it. With like the field. How have the Brewers not been at the Field of Dreams game yet? We're right down the road. We're always looking for an excuse to get over to Dubuque.
It's true.
Dwayne in Dubuque would be a heck of a time.
Nice. Brian, you've got question two.
All right, Dwayne. Which NFL wide receiver took to social media over the weekend to challenge Olympic gold medal sprinter Noah Lyles to race a 50-yard dash? Was it A.J. Brown, Justin Jefferson, or Tyreek Hill?
Ooh. I didn't hear that one. We'll go with Justin Jefferson. Oh.
Tyreek Hill, the cheetah.
Cheetah.
He might have to be a cheetah if he's going to win, though. I know he's fast. But we'll see.
I don't know if he's that fast.
All right, Dwayne, let's bounce back. Question three. Entering play today, which of these teams has the best record in the 2024 Major League Baseball season? Best record in baseball. Does it belong to the Baltimore Orioles, the Philadelphia Phillies, or the Los Angeles Dodgers?
I'm going to go with the Phillies.
Ooh. And you made the right choice. Nicely done, Dwayne. All right, Dwayne. We took care of the perfect week early, but you still got two of the possible three right. That means you got three of the possible four entries into the drawing on Friday. We appreciate you playing, and we appreciate your loyalty to the show, buddy. Thanks.
Yep. Love you guys. Love the show.
Anna, love you guys. Tao should be happy to hear that when he returns.
Yes, he sure would.
All right, we will get to Whoa Nelly, and we will do that next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
For Whoa Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, "Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide."
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
So there are some random Twitter accounts that keep popping up on my feed now, thanks to Elon's new algorithms. That I just keep seeing, and it's interesting information. So clearly, Twitter knows me better than me.
Don't be dissing Tausch's guy.
I'm saying he'll get mad at you. I'm intrigued by what's been popping up, like this one from at CFB Rep, the College Football Report.
That sounds made up.
Maybe, but here is a list: most wins in the college football playoff era with no playoff appearances of Power 5 programs. Wisconsin is on the top of the list with 90 wins.
Yeah, but where's Iowa?
Iowa is fourth on the list with 88 wins. So even in a battle of the runner-ups, Wisconsin's still far superior to Iowa. Brian Bulaga, Iowa, your thoughts?
What a troublemaker.
Yeah, far superior. I looked at that when you showed it to me, or when you sent us the email, and I don't know if that, like, disappoints me more or makes me, like, you know, I don't know which one it, I don't know what emotion it rises for me. I think it's more of, like, upset that, like, I mean, obviously in Wisconsin's case and in Iowa case, like, they've won a lot of games but have never made it into that top four, which is, like, bummer. Like, it makes you feel, like, good that they've won a lot, but bad that they've never actually been into the showcase. We'll see how it goes now that there's more teams, right? There's opportunity now for a team that loses the Big Ten championship to potentially get into that 12, you know, team playoff, which is exciting. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I mean, like, when we won the Orange Bowl when I was there, like, you know, we still wouldn't have gotten in because I think we ended the season at like 5 or 6. So, like, even that great team that we had would have never gotten into the playoff either. So it's just one of those things that it's fun to see that they win a lot, but disappointing that they've never gotten into the show.
Yeah, I'm going to say it. This is not proof of anything other than when you don't have many teams that get to participate in the playoff, there's going to be a lot of good teams that win a hell of a lot of games that don't play in the playoff, right? Like, I get it.
Yep.
I understand why they did it the way they did, but now they've completely killed the bowl system between that and guys opting out of bowl games. So now they have to do the extended playoff. They have to do it because there are a bunch of good football teams that have nothing to play for otherwise, including, like Brian pointed out, I would have liked to have seen that team that finished fifth in the country or whatever you did. And so what if you lose in a semifinal game? Right? You're still playing for a title. And so this doesn't, Jesse, your first one out of your Elon algorithm, this does nothing for me. All this does is prove that they didn't have enough teams in the playoff. That's all it proves to me.
And what it shows to me is, like, Oklahoma State, Penn State, Utah, USC, Texas A&M, Florida are all on this list. Auburn. These are really good programs that have never been to a college football playoff. So the fact that Wisconsin's the best of all of these teams does make me actually feel good after I first was like, oh, man, we're the best team that's never made it to the playoff. That's just another thing against us. But I actually took a little more pride in the list than probably I should have after examining all the other teams that were on it.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
Whoa, Nelly! If you're not going to win the national title, at least be good at something else, right? Stephon Gilmore is 34 years old, and the veteran corner had just signed with the Minnesota Vikings over the weekend. Remember a couple of years ago when Tausch wanted the Packers to trade in? It was all hot on one day that right before the deadline, the Packers need to trade for Stephon Gilmore, and they'll win the Super Bowl. Big deal, little deal, or no deal now that Stephon Gilmore, who's coming off a decent season in Dallas last year, just signed with the Minnesota Vikings. Brian Bulaga?
I mean, I think he's a solid veteran, you know, player. I don't, like, again, I didn't watch the Cowboys that much besides when, you know, we played them there at the end of the season, which everything went Green Bay's way. So I didn't really pay too much attention to him as a player individually. Obviously was a fantastic corner for such a long time in the NFL, was a true lockdown corner with the Patriots and everything like that. Has had a heck of a career. I don't know if it changes any dynamic of the Vikings defense. I don't think it does any, you know, I think he's a good solid player. And listen, it's hard to find good solid corners. Like, I understand that. But I don't know if it makes Minnesota any more of a contender to win more games or not. Like, I don't see it as that huge of a deal, I guess.
So the only thing that it says to me is that they're not completely tanking. Because if you've given up on the season after J.J. McCarthy's injury and the fact that you're going to start Sam Darnold as your quarterback, then you don't bother with Stephon Gilmore, right? Now, I understand there has been, obviously, the tragic circumstance of losing one of their draft picks who was a cornerback, Kyrie Jackson, in a car accident. But if you don't think you can compete, you just don't bother with Stephon Gilmore. So at least they're not blatantly tanking by signing him. But beyond that, I'm with Brian. It doesn't change how I view them. I will say this. If I'm Stephon Gilmore, my best years were in New England, where the defensive coordinator was Brian Flores, who is the Minnesota Vikings defensive coordinator. So if I want to keep playing for a few years, I'm going to play in a guy whose system was good for me when I was younger. Well, Nelly.
Yeah, Jesse, was the money good in the contract? Like, what was the – was it a good contract for him? Or was it league minimum or vet minimum?
$7 million guaranteed, worth up to $10
million. Not bad at all.
That's good work if you can get it at 34.
More than we're paying you to do this show.
There's no doubt. Absolutely. There's no doubt.
That's it for Woe Nelly. Brian will get the last word as our cousin sub of the day for much less than Stephon Gilmore is getting paid by the Vikings. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Our cousin sub of the day. He'll be joining us on Wednesday for his regular appearance when Tausch is back. Brian, I asked you earlier if you were made the interim coach, what you would do for this Ravens game. I ask you now, what do you think Matt LaFleur will say to us tomorrow before the afternoon practice they have when it comes to whether or not the starters will play? How will he take what happened with the joint practice with the Broncos and the game last night and apply it this week if you are in the predicting business?
If I have to go with what's probably going to happen, he's going to say that they're not playing. The starters are not playing. If I had to go with
what should
he's
happen,
probably going to say what I think. And listen, I'm not in the coaching business in the NFL level, but what I think would maybe be good would be for him to say, we haven't made that decision yet. We're going to go through this week of practice and see what we think the guys need going into the final game. And that's the way I would approach it, just kind of like I said, to keep these guys on their toes, give them a little sense of urgency. That also lets them know what they just did the last week wasn't good enough, and it's not going to be good enough going forward. So that would be the way I would approach it. I think he's going to go the way that we're not going to play any of them in the final game, but they're going to get the work in the joint practice. And, hey, they may be – and that's fine if that's the way he goes. But it is all based on how these guys respond this week in practice.
Well, we will find out tomorrow, and then on Wednesday I'll be able to report back to you what he actually said. I think he should take your advice, and I know he's an avid listener to the show. That's it for us today. Thanks for coming along for the ride, and of course, thanks to Brian for being our cousin sub of the day. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on Wisconsin On Demand.